Now, if you would, turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. We will be continuing on in our study here on the characters that are mentioned, of course, in this chapter, and looking at the subject of faith, that is, faith that leads the believer into action. And I got to thinking, this is our 11th week in this study. It seems like we just started it yesterday to me, but certainly we're almost at fully into the end of the third month of this, and it just goes to show you how fast time really goes by. But as we think about that, as fast as time goes by, that just means we're getting closer and closer to the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I want to read with you two verses here in Hebrews chapter 11 that deal with really the same time frame, but they're going to look at two different groups or individuals, so to say. Now, our first group that we'll be looking at is Joshua, and we'll be looking at him and the nation of Israel. We'll be looking at their faith. And then secondly, we'll be looking at the faith of the only true Gentile mentioned in this chapter. So if you would look with me in Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to read verses 30 and 31. It says, "By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace." Now, last week when we were speaking about the faith here in this chapter, we left off with Moses and the crossing of the Red Sea. Now, 40 years have passed by at this point in time. No significant act of faith is recorded here for us by the writer of Hebrews. And in fact, when we look at those 40 years, we see that those 40 years were very troublesome years. We find that those were years of bickering. We find that those were years of murmuring against God. They were times of internal fighting. They were times of disbelief. And you know what? It's easy for us to stand back in our point in time and look back on those 40 years there in the wilderness and think about how disobedient they were to God's will whenever they had the very presence of God guiding them, whenever they had the presence of God there that they could see on Mount Sinai through the quaking and the thunderings and the smoke and all the things they saw. And not to count even the miracles that God did in the midst, providing food every day. They had all of those things. And it's easy for us to look back and just kind of shake our heads, you know, how they had all that disbelief and lack of faith. But you know what? I wonder if the writer of Hebrews were to sit down and write a chapter about us here, what would he find? Would he find an event and 40 years of silence and then maybe another event? What do you find an event at all? That moment that really defined us in our faith. Tonight, when we go home and we lay down in our beds, let's consider for a moment our story of faith and how it would look to someone else if they were reading it. Because after all, you know, that's one of the reasons that we're doing this study. That's why we spent the last 3 months in this, is to strengthen us in our faith so that we might be able to do the things that God has called us out to do. And certainly we ought to be a little bit further along than when we started. Now, to understand a little bit more about the faith expressed here, we have to go back to Joshua chapter 6. So if you would, let's turn back to Joshua chapter 6. And we're going to be finding ourselves here in the book of Joshua for the remainder of the night, for the most part. Joshua chapter 6, and we're going to begin in verse number 1 here. And before we get into that, I do want to zero in a little bit on what's going on at this point in time so we understand the chapter just a little bit better. Now, we understand at this point in time Moses is dead. He's no longer with them. Joshua is the new leader that has been appointed by God, and the Israelites are following after the leading of him. And he is the one that brought them into the promised land. In fact, that's where the Israelites are at right now. They're there in the promised land. You might Remember how God parted the River Jordan and let them cross over into the promised land. Now, when they come to Jericho, when they come to the promised land, even to say that, they find themselves in different shoes than they've ever been in before. You know, when they were out there in the wilderness, God sustained them daily with that manna, remember, every morning. But you know what? When they got to the promised land, they were to eat of the food of the land. God wasn't sustaining them like He was before. They also find themselves now on the offensive, as God has commanded them to go out and to conquer those people that were living there, and as a matter of fact, to utterly destroy them. That was their command. They find themselves now on the offensive. Now, we have a lot of verses to read here tonight, beginning in verse number 1. And if you will, just bear with me as we go through here. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let the 7 priests bear the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, Pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew the trumpets, and the reward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, Ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day that I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took the ark of the Lord. And the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of the ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, but the reward came after the ark of the Lord and the priests going on and the blowing with the trumpets. And the 2nd day they compassed the city once and returned to the camp. So they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that the priests blew with the trumpets. Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city, and the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein. To the Lord only Rahab the harlot shall live, and she and all that are with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourself accursed when ye take the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. And then verse 20, So the people shouted with the priests, blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, And they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. Now, I know that that was a lot of reading, more than we like to do at one time typically, but let's consider some things about faith here that we see in this chapter. Now, the first thing that I would submit to you tonight is the Israelites had a daring faith. A daring faith. Now, when we think of the word daring, we might think of the word adventurous. We might think of even the word brave. But daring seems to speak of some kind of risk, a little bit of a risk. And again, though we can look back from our point of view, and though we should know ourselves that if we are following the will of God, that there truly is no risk, but let's put ourselves into their situation. Again, they are in a land that they did not control. And though that God had promised them this land, though it was to be their home, it was far from that yet. The Israelites, they didn't have an army like the Egyptians did that they left. They didn't have chariots and fast horses. They didn't have a great artillery. They had no place to retreat to. They had no home to run off to if they had to retreat. Essentially, the Israelites at this point in time had only two choices. Victory or death. That was the only two choices they had as they were here on the offense. And that's just plain and simple. They would either have victory over the enemy or they would die trying. Now, you add to that scenario the seeds of fear that have already been sown by the spies that went out into the promised land. Remember the spies, they went in there and they came back and they said, there is no way we can fight these people. These people are giants. They're sons of the Anakim. These people have walls around their city that reach all the way up to heaven. You know what? That's how fear looks at a situation. When fear sets in and we step outside of faith, elements get blown out of proportion. Now, were the people that lived in the land truly giants? No, they weren't. Were there walls around the city that reached all the way up to heaven? Well, they were big, but no, they didn't reach that far. But you see, that's how fear set in. And that's the way fear blows things out of proportion. Now, Jericho is the first city that they come to, the first place that they come to, the first fight in the promised land. And it's the city that's greatest of them all. And we know that the walls around the city were so large, you know, a lot of times we think of a small wall around the city, like a flood wall or something like that, but folks, these were large walls, very large walls, several feet thick, enough to where you could have a house on top of the wall, and they could ride chariots around the wall, that kind of thing. They were very large and very stout. And, you know, looking from the outside, yes, the walls must have looked very indestructible. Yet the people of Israel dared to go on and to follow what Joshua told them. They were ready to risk everything they had. Why? Because true faith is ready to risk everything for the Lord. True faith is ready to risk everything for the Lord. And you know, that's not the nature of man. The nature of man is to seek safety and certainty. And I wonder, as I think about these Israelites as they're going around the city here, how many of us really have daring faith? You know, we all like to probably think that we do, but if the Lord was dealing with you right now and said, sell everything that you have, and I want you to move around the world, baby, someplace, maybe over in the Middle East. Why not over in the middle of Syria or Iran or one of those places? Would you be overly anxious to go? Well, the answer is probably not. You probably wouldn't be anxious to go because you know exactly what happens over there when you're a Christian and when you're proclaiming the Word of God. How many Christians have we heard who have been tortured and jailed and everything else because of the message that they carry. But you know what? Daring faith goes when the Lord says go. Daring faith steps out of our comfort zone that we are living in and moves us to do things that we never dreamed about doing. Daring faith marches when the Lord says march. Daring faith shouts when the Lord says shout. And daring faith will give you victory in the end because the Lord is with you all the way to the very end by His power and by His might. You know, as we look at daring faith, we can hardly look at that without looking at their obedience in faith as well. Obedience to trust the words of God even when they don't make all the sense in the world. And we've seen this already. We've seen this with Noah when he was told to build that great ark there on the dry land as God was going to rain down a big flood. We saw this with Abraham a couple of times as God told him to get out from his kindred and from his city and go into a land that he didn't know. And again, we told him to go up and sacrifice his son Isaac. Daring faith will never exist unless there is first obedience in faith. You see, they follow that way. God gave Joshua and the Israelites a plan to defeat the city. And it was a pretty vague plan. And let's just face it, the plan doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? It doesn't naturally make sense to us. It's not a tactic that we would think of. We might think, well, you know, how would we defeat a city like this that has locked themselves up? Well, maybe we would surround the city. Eventually starve them out. You know, that's been done several times in the past in history. The natural plan might have been to catapult things over the walls. Things that might have caused death and disease within the city. That's been done at times. Maybe the natural plan might be to dig a tunnel under the wall. Maybe the natural plan might be to surround the city and all at once compass it and go up the walls with ladders. On the offensive when they least expect it. You know, those are the natural kinds of plans. Those are the things that make sense to our mortal minds. But marching around the city and doing nothing makes no sense. It makes no sense to us. And even knowing that the end of the plan, that you're going to march around it on the seventh day seven times, and the priests are going to blow their horn and you're going to shout, well, that still doesn't make a lot of sense. Even though God has said that the walls are going to come down, the question is how? How is that going to happen? But you know what? They followed the plan. Because they obeyed in faith. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something tonight. Jericho fortresses still exist today. They may not be cities with great walls, but you know what? There's times in our life when the Lord is going to put something before you, something that you need to do, and it's going to seem like an impossible task. And the directions that He gives you may even seem even more impossible. But obey the very voice of the Lord to the very end. Because you know what? The same God that was with them in Jericho that brought the walls down is the same God that is here today. God hasn't changed. Not one bit has He changed. So step out in faith. Do what God has called you to do, whatever that might be, because God equips the inadequate. Were they adequate when they were around the city? No, they weren't. They weren't some mighty, mighty army. But God equipped them for what He wanted them to do. And He'll equip you as well. And I want to say one more thing here that kind of fits in the realm of faith here. And that is the faith of a guarded tongue. The faith of a guarded tongue. You know, as Christians, we are told to go out into the world and to tell other people about Christ. To preach the gospel to every living creature, as the Gospel of Mark tells us. And you know what? We're so used to going out sometimes and just flapping our mouths. But you know what? There's some times when the Lord would have us just shut up, to put it blunt. Israel had to march around that city day after day in complete silence. They weren't to look at their buddy next to them and say, "This is the dumbest plan that I have ever heard in my life." They weren't to look at the other guy across from them and say, "You know what? This just isn't going to work." They marched in silence, and they obeyed in faith the Word of God. Sometimes when we are on our journey of faith, we'll come to those times where all seems like our marching is worthless, when it seems like nothing's going to work. But don't murmur. Don't question, and don't complain before God. Don't be a discouragement to your brothers and sisters around you. Have the kind of faith that has a sealed mouth until God gives the victory in the end. Next, we see also that they marched in faith that was patient. Faith that was patient. You know, they didn't march just one day and have the victory. They didn't march 3 days and say, "Okay, we've done this enough, let's just skip to the end of the book," so to say. You know, look to the last chapter. They faithfully waited on the Lord and did exactly what the Lord told them to do. Brothers and sisters, not every battle that we face in our life is going to come and go the first go round. Matter of fact, sometimes the battle may not come to an end the seventh go round. In fact, we know many people who have fought battles for seemingly years and years. And you know, all I can tell you is don't give up and don't give in, because God will see you through to the other side. Let Him have the reins, and let Him have His way in you. All right. Now, we've been looking at the faith on the outside of the walls, but we want to look for a few minutes at the faith that is occurring on the inside of the walls. And that is with Rahab. And her story starts back in chapter 2, and if you would, look back with me there in chapter 2 of Joshua. And the whole chapter here, we could read it, but we're not going to read the whole chapter for the sake of time tonight, even though I'm a little bit further ahead than I thought I would be at this point in time. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. And it says, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into the harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country.' And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, 'Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country.' And the woman took the 2 men and hid them, and said thus, 'There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I want not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them.' But she had brought them up to the top of the roof of the house, and she had hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof." Now, I want you to think about Rahab for just a moment, because at first glance, Rahab is not the kind of character that we would think would be in this letter to the Hebrews. After all, she is a Gentile. And not just any kind of Gentile. She was a harlot, a prostitute. And that fact is told to us over and over in Scripture. But you know what? The faith of this Gentile harlot saved her and her family. Certainly God is no respecter of persons. God, before creation, chose to call some His own. He called them His elect. And by far, if we were to look back in history at this point in time, most of His elect have come from the seed of Abraham. But here we see that God chose a Gentile. Remember, the Gentiles were those that the Jews called dogs. Even Jesus Christ called a Gentile woman once a dog. She was a dog. She was a whore. Isn't it great, brothers and sisters, that God did not look through time and choose His people based upon how good they were? You know, if He would have done that, if He would have looked through time and said, you know what, this person is going to be a good person, this person is going to be a good person, you know what, if He would have done that, He would have never, ever cast His loving eyes upon Rahab. And you know what? He'd have never cast His loving eyes on me either. Folks, God chose Rahab with an everlasting love. Brought her out of a people that were destined for destruction. Complete oblivion. And you know what, folks? He chose me out of a people that were destined for destruction in a lake of fire. Praise the Lord for His electing grace, for His sovereign grace. Look down in verse 9. It says, "And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is the God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have shown you the kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, that ye will save alive my father, my mother, and my brethren, and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." Now, I would submit to you tonight that Rahab had faith in God, the God of Israel, before the men ever came to lodge with her. The Word of God tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's universal. It's true throughout. There's no way to get around that. So, did a prophet come to instruct her? Did someone else come and tell her about her need of faith before they got there? The answer is no. You know, when the Jews crossed the Red Sea, You remember that night when they were on the other side of the Red Sea, and there was such joy on that side of the camp. And it tells us that the people sang, people danced, the first time we have that recorded in the Word of God. And in that song, in Moses' song over there in Exodus 15, it says, "The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab trembling shall take hold on them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away." Now they said that 40 years earlier as they crossed the Red Sea. Did the people of Palestine hear? Yes, they did. They heard what God had done. They heard what God had done for the nation of Israel as they came through the wilderness. Rahab and the inhabitants of Jericho had heard of all of these things, and because they heard of these things, they trembled in fear. That's what most of them did. They trembled in fear after hearing what God Jehovah had done. But one heard, and she put her faith in that God. She had faith in that God. She wasn't trembling in fear. Not like the others. She knew the victory was going to be to the other people. So the fact truly is there that Rahab's faith in God came from those who were not Israelites and didn't come from actually believers in God. And you know what, folks? I've read through this story so many different times in my life, and I have never caught that. It's never been apparent to me. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But I will tell you this, after reading this, God can use anyone to tell the story. If God can speak His Word to the mouth of a donkey, folks, God can use anything and anyone at any time to bring faith to someone else, even when they don't even know it. Now, granted, her faith is pretty rudimentary at this time. She needs to be instructed more perfectly in the faith because right now she's ignorant completely in the ways of God, that she's putting her faith in God. And furthermore, her faith is shown by her works here. When first she received the men, the spies, she received them, it says, in peace. And then what did she do? She took them and she hid them away. She put her own life on the line, knowing that, you know what, if they would have came in and they would have found the men, what would they have done to Rahab? They would have killed her, folks. That simple. But she put her life on the line, she hid them away. And you know what, if we were to continue reading on the story here, we would see how she trusted in the men, and she helped them over the wall in the nighttime there, and how she hung out that scarlet rope there at the window as a token of that pledge. All this was done in faith. All was done in faith. And you might say, well, you know what? She lied here. She did what was wrong. She did that was wrong. She lied. And, you know, which even though it was effective for the situation is something that is never excusable by God. But you know what? She did that because of her lack of knowledge. Her lack of guidance. You know, when we were first saved, we find too that there were many imperfections in us that we must learn to mortify as well. Folks, we don't get saved and become perfect. We got a lot of things we got to get right. So over that issue, we need to cut her a little bit of slack, certainly. But now I want you to consider what is the reward of Rahab's faith. Because what does the Word of God tell us? Remember back there in Hebrews it said that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. What was her reward? Over in chapter 6, verse 17. "And the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that were within her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent." Folks, the reward of her faith was that she did not perish with the rest of Jericho. And I can imagine, you know, her house was where? It was on the wall. What did God knock down? The walls! You know, as I think about this, I think, you know, all these walls being down, and there's Rahab's house sitting just as fine as can be. One little section, whatever. And she's there with her family. Through her faith, they were all saved. Now, think of Rahab's life here following this event. Because Rahab became a changed woman at this point in time. You know, Rahab didn't continue in harlotry. That's not what she did. And, you know, I can imagine even her faith was spoken of well throughout the camps of the Israelites. And she would have become what was called a proselyte into the Jewish faith at this point in time. And even though that she was a Gentile, and even though of her past, you know what? There was a man that sought to marry her. His name was Salmon. He was of the tribe of Judah. And you know what? Rahab became a godly mother in faith. And she had a son. And his name was Boaz. And it would be Boaz who himself would marry another Gentile woman mentioned in the Scripture by the name of Ruth. And of course, this is the lineage of David, which is the lineage of Christ. Rahab is in the lineage of Christ because of her faith. Hers is truly an amazing story, isn't it? Faith to believe, faith put in action. As I think about her story tonight, you think about your own lives, no matter what your past has been, no matter who you are as a person, isn't it amazing how God can take this earthly clay that we are and being the potter that He is, turn us in to a vessel of honor.